Well, good morning. I'm going to sing you a song. Now, I truly apologize after that wonderful song by Tyler and the choir, because mine is going to be of poor quality, but the message is real good. Loves me, this I know. Tells me so, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, loves me. Yes, loves me. Yes, loves me. Tells me so. I heard a few of you fill in the blanks. How'd you know why to fill in the blanks? One of the reasons you'd heard the song before. You sung it all your life. But even if you'd never heard the song before, you could fill in the blanks because of one reason. The Bible. The Word of God. The Bible tells us everything we've ever wanted to know about God, from beginning to end of the Bible. It's all about God. It's about His Word. And that's how we know that it's Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. You know, the most recognizable verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's how we know Jesus loves us. That's how we know God loves us. As Brad has said earlier, the Gideons are an organization or association of Christian business and professional men and their wives through the auxiliary, dedicated to making the Word of God available to everyone, and together with local churches, reaching souls for Christ. That's our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is to see more people come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We do this by handing out Bibles. Now, let's face it, when you think of Gideon's, you think of this Bible in a hotel room. Now, how many times have you gone in, or you may not do it, but I do it, go into a hotel room looking at all the drawers. I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what I'm looking for. But you go through all the drawers, and you see that Bible, and you shut the drawer. You may never pick it up. You may never read it. But you know it's there. For me, there's some comfort in knowing it's there. But you know, the hotel Bible only amounts to about 8% of what we give out or place. We put them in hospitals, nursing homes, doctors' offices, lawyers' offices. We give them out to students. The fifth grade is a little red Bible. Let's see. That was the old style. We've kind of spruced up things, made it look like a locker. We give them out to the fifth grade and to seniors. The senior one, I got a pocket full of these things, is an orange. And again, it used to be just plain orange, and we spruced it up a little bit. We give it out to, this is the one we give out to nursing personnel. We also give it out to the men and women serving in our armed forces, either here and abroad. Got a little camouflage there. There are different camouflages. There are actually different ones for different branches of the armed forces. We know the Word of God changes people's lives. We know by what's in Isaiah 55 that God promised us. Isaiah 55:10 says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word, God talking, my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word changes people's lives. God's word is powerful. In Ephesians, when they're arming themselves for the spiritual battle, he says, Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Just see how powerful God's word is. And it changes lives. One example, there was a man named Richard who was caught up in his career. And if you were in Sunday school this morning and explore the Bible, if that's what you're looking at, you understand that he had the love of money. He was putting his career before God. He had a business meeting in a town far away, so he went the night before to spend the night, so he wouldn't have to get up early and drive. And when he got there, he couldn't go to sleep. He was restless. So he reached over in the drawer and pulled out the Bible. Now, he had no interest in the Bible, but he started reading it, figured it would bore him to sleep. I think he started in John and started reading. After an hour or two, he got out of his bed and got out on his knees and asked for God to take control of his life. He was putting God first and not his career. He went back home a changed man. God's word is powerful. You know, we give out last year somewhere around 88 million Bibles around the world. We're in somewhere around 200 countries and territories. And it's produced in about 95 different languages. But you know, we have these services because we need your help. And I know what you're thinking. I remember I went with a campus minister when I was in college to his hometown in Lake Wales, Florida, for a mission weekend. He got up, he could play the guitar, and he could actually sing. And the first thing he said after he gave his little presentation was, the number one thing I need, the first thing I need is your prayers. Well, I'm young and dumb, you got to understand. So I'm sitting back there, we need your money. But you know, as life has gone on for me and proven for me the power in prayer, I understand what he meant. And I come to you today asking for the one thing that everybody in this service can give is prayer. Pray that we're allowed into more countries. We've even made a little inroad into China. Pray that people who receive the Bible, that it works, that the Holy Spirit works in their lives. Because, as I said, our ultimate goal is to win souls for Christ. So today, I'm asking you for your prayers. And I thank you. I'm Brad Spiegel. I'm a Gideon. Most of you know me by my other name. That's Connie's husband. I've been a Gideon 22 years, and if I had to come up with one word to describe the Gideons, that one word would be crazy. They're all crazy. All the Gideons believe that this little book right here has the power to change lives. They all believe that this little book has the power to make the blind see and the lame to walk. That's why we go into the highways and byways, the traffic lanes of life, handing out and placing these little books. There are some Gideons that are crazy enough to take money out of their own pocket, buy them a plane ticket, and fly halfway around the world to give out these little books. I got a call from Gideon's International several years ago. The guy on the phone said, "Brad, how would you like to go to Thailand?" I said, "I'd be glad to. I think I could be there in 5 hours. The man said, "5 hours?" I said, "Yes, sir, I believe I can make it in 5 hours. If I remember right, it's about 30 miles west of Dothan. I think I came through there one night." The man on the phone said, "Brad, have you ever flown before?" I said, "Yes, sir, I have, twice. We were in a 76 Ford pickup truck going down Mount Tabor Road. I know we left the ground twice." Man never called me back. But there are Gideons that are crazy enough to take money out of their pocket, buy them a plane ticket, pay for a place to stay, and fly halfway around the world to hand out these little books. Brother Glenn Williams from Coleman, Alabama, took money out of his pocket and he bought him a plane ticket to Tanzania. Him and a few other Gideons went down to Tanzania, and while they were down there, in 1 week's time, they handed out and placed over 135,000 Bibles, friends. At one school they went to, they handed out over 600 Bibles to the students there. When they got done, a young boy came up to Brother Glenn, said, "Brother Glenn," or he said, "Sir, this Bible you gave me, the cover says it's written in Swahili. But when I opened it up, it's written in Portuguese." Brother Glenn told that young boy, said, "I'm sorry. I'll be glad to swap you one written in Swahili for that one written in Portuguese." That little boy stepped back from Glenn and he pulled that Bible to his chest and said, "No, sir, you don't understand. I want to keep this Bible. I want to give it to my daddy. He can't read Swahili, but he can read Portuguese." Can you see the words of Isaiah 55:11 that Brother Arnold just quoted? His word will prosper and will not return void. David Pankar, a Gideon. Him and two other Gideons was on a street corner in a city in East Africa, and they were handing out these little books. Brother David heard the sound of footsteps running up behind him, and Brother David felt a tug on his coat. Brother David turned around, and there was a little girl with her hands out saying, "Bible for me, mister, Bible for me." Brother David reached in his pocket, but there wasn't a Bible. He felt in his other pockets and he didn't have one. He asked the other Gideons, "Do y'all have a Bible?" The other two Gideons didn't have one either. Brother David looked through the empty boxes on the sidewalk and they were empty. Brother David turned and looked at that little girl and said, "I'm sorry, honey. We've given all the Bibles away." That little girl looked up at Brother David and said, "That's all right, mister. That's all right." And that little girl took off running in the direction she came from. Brother David turned around to
started picking up the empty boxes, and about that time he heard the sound of tires sliding on pavement. And Brother David heard a thump. Brother David turned around, and there laying in the streets was the lifeless body of that little girl. I remember the night Brother David told me that. I remember how there were tears running down Brother David's face when he told me, "Brad, if I only had one more Bible, just one more." Somebody asked me, "How many Bibles does the Gideons need?" "We need one more. Just one more." Sometimes, after a long day, I get home, and when I get still and I get quiet, I feel a tug on my heart, and I hear somebody say, "Bible for me, mister. Bible for me." In a little while, you'll have an opportunity to help the Gideons. Would you help us buy more Bibles?
Are these guys good? They are so good, I'm telling you. You know, I got some good news and some bad news. The good news is I'm last. But the bad news, they didn't tell you you need to bring your lunch. So today we're going to, this is completely different today. We're doing something that the Gideons will probably boot us out for, but we're going to do distributions today. And these are ministries that we support and give to here in our church. And I love this church. I love Westmead. It's just the best. And Justin, we appreciate it so much, you letting us do this, man. It's, you hear the heart of these guys. They're dead serious about the Gideons and giving Bibles and doing things for Christ. So first we're gonna do today, and one that's she's so close to me, Verona Keene in Save-A-Life. And I'm gonna ask her to come forward with some of her group, if you will, and we're going to try to move rather quickly. Bill Malden is her Gideon caregiver. So he's going to present her with some Bibles. And Tom Arnold brought some Bibles today, too. And we're going to give you even more, Verona. So if you want to change your life, go by her operation on Austinville Road. I did it this week. And it would change your life to go through there and see what they do for our community and the Save a Life cause. It is so great to and as we go and as you give, we support ministries just like this. We don't have to go around the world to save a soul, to give a Bible that will change a life. We can give it to this lady. And last year we said she gave 1,700. This past year she went over 2,000. So what about that, for? We as Gideons wish we were that good. So, Rona, thank you so much. And won't you just stay right there for a minute? I'm going to try to move fast enough that we can maybe hold that right quick. Next, I want to invite up Julie Buckley and her Westmead mission trip to DR. So would you come forth right quick? And I want to ask you a question. Is she prepared to go? She called me and said, "I need Bibles," which is a very common request from Julie. And I know that she, when she asked for Bibles, where's Parker? What language do you think she would want, Parker? Nichols? What language? That's the way you check the... Get off your phone, will you please? What Bible, what language do you think she would want in the Dominican Republic? Spanish, exactly. All right. The next question she said, Bill, I want 30 Creole Testaments. Why did she ask me that question? Back in 2010, roughly, they had an earthquake in Haiti, which is on the other end of the island that Dominican Republic is. Haiti's on one end. What language do you think they speak? Creole, exactly. So as the Haitians came into Dominica, we've been ministering to them for that length of time. So she knew that she could give away as many Creoles as she did Spanish. So we provided those, and it's the same principle, Brad and Tom. How many do you need to take? And what is that answer? One more. We never have had enough of anything. And of course, we send Teresa not to only give Bibles, but she helps the economy so much when she goes, because she buys at every market, she buys something. So, right? Isn't that right? Right. All right. Our next group now, one that's really close to my heart, and I hope we have some that are going to be here today, are the nurses of our church. So I would ask all nurses now to come forward, because we have a presentation for you that you probably have received before. Come on, nurses, don't be shy. Come on. We're not going to make you speak or anything. All right, that's right. Tom's got the test. We've got the little white testaments that we're going to give you again, and we go, our group, oh, look how good it is. Yeah. Woo! Guys, if you're going to go down here at church. Look what aid we have. Would you imagine, you know, when we were first putting the names together, I ended up with 14, and we very quickly said, we are not going to mention names because we'll miss somebody, and I wish you would look the support we do. And they're so special to us because I'm a Rotarian, and our motto is service before self. And these girls and guys, they give of themselves. They should all be Rotarians because they do give service before self. And I am so proud of you for what you do for us and the way you support the Gideons, because you use our white testaments and the Bibles in the hospitals and things every day that we just love to provide. So I love these guys. All right, y'all can all go back and sit down now. I know you don't want to stand. I told Judy Johnson that I would not make her speak. So. Okay, we're through. All right, our next group, and we're doing okay on time. Our next group is one that's very close to us, and it's one that's really been in the church for quite a while. And as I started researching, and this is our first priority group. Larry Franks heads it up now, but let me go back in time just a little bit for you. And it gets very close to Brad and Connie Spiegel, because in 2009, Brandon and David Starnes, Dana Starnes, Brandon and Dana Starnes, were the first priority reps in North Alabama. So we go back that far. And 3 or 4 years later, Larry Franks came on and is doing a great job. And he couldn't be here today, but I saw his future son-in-law and his daughter here. But I'm going to ask Brandy Breeding to come forward. In this history here, in this total family, Brandy Bottom Breeding. And she is she became first a part of first priority through clothing our kids, who she and Michael started. Come on, Michael. There's history here, okay? I love history. I'm going to take Michael now. His dad was a Gideon, and his granddad, George Breeding, was probably the first Gideon that I ever knew in this church. And he was so good, and he so persistent. So, and Larry Bottom, of course, is Randy's father, and he was our minister of education for years that I dearly love. So, and she's here because Clothe Our Kids has become a part of First Priority. And it is really just so great for our community, and we're so glad to provide Bibles for you and support for you. And I was going to give you that whole case, but it weighs so much. Brad is going. But we are, the Gideons are donating to First Priority 200 full Bibles that we can give to the school kids, because that's what Larry wanted. He said, when they go home at the end of the year, I want them to take a Bible with them. And that's what we're presenting to First Priority today. So thank you, Brandon and Michael, and thank you for being here. It's so good to see you again. So, I am rambling like wild, but I'm covering a lot of bases. So as you give and as we go, you become a part of it. You become one of us. And that's the good part, because you can just be there. When Buck goes to Dominican and we support her, we're there with her. We know what she's going through. We know that she's doing good, and we're doing good because we support it. And that's the reason this church is so strong, because you are part of so many of these ministries. And I wanted you to see the effect that we do have just at Westmead. And I am so thankful for you. So as our Tom and Brad have talked, it's all about winning souls. We can give Bibles till we're blue in the face, but it's all about reaching that heart of that young individual, that child, that teenager, that adult, that father. So today, I ask you, if you haven't accepted Christ in your life, there's nothing like it. It's not. We have that forgiveness. We have that eternal life. It's just the greatest decision that you could ever make. It's so easy and so simple, and it's so fulfilling to you. And I ask you today, if you haven't made that decision, come on Gideon Day. This is a special day for us, and it will be a special day in your life if you'll accept Christ as your Savior. And that's what the Gideons are all about. We love to give testaments and Bibles. We just love that. But we love to see that one individual accept Christ. And we sometimes try to justify in our mind and say, why do we do all this? Why do we give so many? But that one acceptance of Christ is the answer. That one more testament, that one more soul that's won to Christ. So we'll have an offering as Justin closes the service, but Tom, I want to sing too. But you know, when Justin told us, he said, you know, I want y'all to do all parts of the program. I said, I want to lead music. Well, that didn't even get past the first conversation. Oh, I love you so much. I believe there's a place called heaven, David. And I believe there's a place called Calvary. Cindy, I may need you. Woo! I believe in a man whose name is Jesus, and I believe he died for me. Let me pray for you. Father, we're so thankful that you give us opportunity, that you give us the courage and the ability to do what we do. We pray that you'll strengthen us. We pray that you'll never make us satisfied. We pray that you'll just encourage us, help us to never miss that opportunity to witness to that one. Just thank you so much for this church and the privilege that you give us to come and be Gideons and be members of Westmead Baptist. Pray that you'll lead us. We're so thankful for our leaders and our staff. We just pray that you'll lead us and that you'll continue to bless this church as we go. Forgive us, Father, when we fail. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.